I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to My Songs Suck, the show where we listen to bad songs from good writers. I'm Alex Smith and I'm a musician.
I'm James Keogh and I'm the friend of a musician. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to another fantastic episode of My Song Suck. I label it as fantastic before we've even started because we've got some fantastic guests.
Yeah.
But before we get to them, I gotta say, I'm James Keogh.
And I'm Alex Smith.
And we're both back again, but with whom?
Well, we have some fantastic guests. As you said, we've got Ella and Meg from Bad Sext in the studio. Would you like to introduce yourselves, guys?
Hey. Hi. Hi.
This is great.
This is good radio, guys. This is great.
My name is Meg, and I am a member of Bad Sext.
I am Ella, and I am also a member of Bad Sext.
Nice. You're both members. Not one's not the leader, and then the other's
we've
like...
We've got membership cards.
Oh, yeah. Good.
With numbers on them specific to our...
Nice. Yeah.
Matching jackets.
Hell yeah. How much does membership cost?
Oh, it ranges.
One soul.
Mm.
Two souls on a public holiday.
Oh, I got to get that extra soul. I got to drum up that. Hey, Alex, do you mind if I borrow your soul?
Yeah, no, go for it.
I promise, I'll give it to you back. Yeah,
there's
yeah.
no lay-by policies.
Okay.
Oh, we don't accept those kind of souls.
Oh.
Fuck. Dragged me. I got dragged. Fair.
Oh, thank you guys so much for coming in.
No, thank you.
A real treat.
Yeah, I was going to say, so... Bad Sext, obviously a Brisbane band. Like, yes. You guys are Brisbane, right? You're not secretly Gold Coast or anything.
No, Brisbane.
Nice, nice.
No secrets here.
No secrets.
Everything's on the table.
Mm-hmm. You're described as a sex punk pop band. What does that entail?
I don't ever want to talk over Ella, so I always look at her being like, do you want the floor?
What does that entail?
Sex punk pop. Well... Sex punk came from someone approaching a friend being like, these guys are awesome. They sound like sex punk. And we're like, that, we're going to take it.
Take that.
We're going to take it. But we try and merge at least punk, pop, or indie alternative rock into one and then just mix it with a bit of sex.
Ooh.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Things to like talk about. Mm. They're important things to talk about. Sorry, my brain's everywhere today.
We don't exactly fit into a punk genre, I don't think, but we dabble.
We dabble.
Every song kind of has a little roller coaster of multiple genres.
Mm. Ooh.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I was listening to your new EP, Muff Hussy, which I think is great and everyone should check out on Spotify.
Mm.
And yeah, because I was like, sex, punk, pop, and if I could be a wanky music student,
please.
I was like,
you
it
may.
Seems like they've got the counterculture of punk, but with the musicality of like the pop, and I enjoy that, and I think there's a really like a beautiful. Oh, I wrote a nice word for
here
it.
We
sincerity.
Go. He's got it. Sincerity,
sincerity
oh, yeah.
to all the songs, and
oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think counterculture in attitude, but not like sound, because like yeah. I love what punk's about. I don't want to go to a punk concert.
No.
So that's who you guys are now. But let's take a bit of a trip in the time machine. We've got a time machine here in the My Song Suck studio. And we go back. I've never mentioned a time machine ever before. I hope you know this. I'm just like completely pulling this out of my ass. But no, let's...
How
we're
did
gonna
you fit it in there?
Yeah.
It's bigger on the inside.
Yeah, it's bigger on the inside.
It's bigger on the inside.
Too easy.
No, but we are going to talk about a song, an older song of yours. It's called Dogs With No Chill, if I'm saying that right. Yeah?
Yes.
Yes. What is Dogs With No Chill?
Well, it was the first song that Ella and I ever rehearsed together.
Oh.
So Ella got me to come over. She showed me the song that she had written. And initially there was a third girl in the band.
Oh.
We had a vision for, and she was going to do some, what was it?
Body percussion.
Body percussion.
Oh, sick.
And so she had this beat that she did with her body. And Ella was like, I've written this song and Anna's done some body percussion. What do you think? And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. And so initially the song, excuse me, was done with the third member.
Right. Mm.
And then we were like, this sounds great with body percussion. Let's try it with another song. And then we realized that it just, there's only so many different rhythms yeah. you can do with your body.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tummy slaps can only fill up so much.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we take a listen to it? Why don't we, did you guys want
to... Is there anything that you want us to know, like, now bearing in mind
yeah,
at this
like
point?
Yeah, preface this song. Or should we just listen in raw?
I haven't listened to it in a long time.
Ooh.
Cool. It was recorded on... interface that someone gave me that I used in my room and had no idea how to use.
Always
oh,
the best
nice.
Way.
Yeah.
So we're kind of working it out as we were doing
as
it.
As you go. Yeah.
Ella was like, I think we pressed this button and something's not happening. Maybe if I take it out and then put it back in again, maybe that will work. And I'm
and
like,
that's where the sex part of the routine came from.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was a bad
that
joke.
That was where our sex routine started. And it felt good.
Alex is glaring at me.
I don't glare. I just shake my head.
Let's All listen. Right.
Let's listen in. Dogs with no chill.
Oh,
oh
God.
Boy.
I forgot that we sounded like that. We sound like a sad indie band.
Yeah, it's very much not our vibe now.
No, that's so strange. That's so weird.
Also, that beginning part is me not knowing how to cut the...
Oh,
so
right.
We start recording and the sound is me picking up my guitar.
Yeah.
And then starting to play the song and then realizing afterwards that I couldn't figure out how to cut it and just leaving it and we put it on SoundCloud.
It sounds intentional. Like, it's a cool...
It's funny you mention that because the version that we have, we didn't include it, but there's 1 minute and 29 seconds of silence at the end of the track before it finishes. which I enjoyed. I was just like, maybe there's some like secret thing here. But yeah. There wasn't. I'm just a dingus.
Maybe it's a little secret, little Easter egg. But no.
Oh, boy.
I like how you called yourself a dingus for possibly thinking that there was more because there was a minute and a half left when we were the ones that were like, silence is good. Yeah. Mostly yeah. because we don't know how to cut this up.
Just didn't know how to do it.
It was very wholesome seeing you guys listen to this song because you very clearly have a lot of nice memories.
Yeah,
I guess. It just looks like you guys were having a nice time.
Yeah, yeah. When? How long ago was this? You guys recorded this?
About a year and a half to 2 years ago.
I would say longer. I'd say over 2 years. Because I remember us meeting in the middle of the year and it was when I was still at uni. But mm-hmm. I had like a year left. And that was a long time ago. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow, that's so weird. We sound so different.
I was going to say, because it's one of the interesting things about this show is that obviously you guys are the people who created this song. So when you listen, you hear all the mistakes and all the bad things.
Mm.
Whereas coming at it completely objectively, I think this song sounds really good.
Yeah, I
think
I really like this song.
Like
yeah.
It baffled me because one of my notes is like, it sounds really good. The harmonies are really good recording. Like and you preface this with saying like we didn't know how to use
yeah.
the
interface. No idea.
It was all an accident.
It sounds like obviously it has a homegrown appeal to it, but like I don't think this would sound out of place on Triple J.
Totally. Like, I think like yeah, with the recording, the way it's recorded fits into the vibe of the song. Like
yeah.
even hearing that, you know, guitar pick up the reverb or whatever it is at the start where you're just picking up the like that sort of fits into the vibe yeah. that this song is putting out.
Yeah, some people do it intentionally
exactly.
to create a bit of a mood, but Ella, that's just Ella.
May I ask a music nerd question?
Yes,
please.
Did you record the guitar DI or did you have a mic on the amp?
DI.
No. What software did you use? That's a good sound.
It was a Scarlett interface.
Oh, nice.
Into GarageBand.
Wait, someone just gave you a Scarlett interface?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Was it a two input one?
Yeah.
Is that high end?
It's a good gift.
Cool.
Damn. That's a
very good gift.
That's a good friend.
Where'd you get this Scarlett from, this mysterious Scarlett?
Just a musician friend who
cool.
just had lots of different stuff that he didn't use anymore because they were quite successful, so they just had lots of old versions
awesome.
Of stuff lying
that's
around. I got my guitar from him as well.
No way.
It's just like a secretly great guitar as
well. Yeah. No,
that's very cool.
You just off the side know Paul McCartney or something and he's just like, oh, just have it, just go for it, it's fine.
I've known Ella since she was a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was going to say the first thing that stands out when listening to this is that, and I think that if the recording were not good, I think this would have still held it up quite so high, is that the harmonies are incredible and so good. And how did you come, was it, because I know some people just kind of like just improv and then they go, or was it like a very meticulously planned out thing?
Oh, all improv. We've never planned a harmony, I don't think.
Wow.
Goodness.
No, like in terms of when developing them, like we're going to
like
okay,
some
now
people
you do
write,
a third.
Yeah, some people sit down and they write the harmonies and they find, like on a piano or
yeah.
on their
sure,
guitar or whatever,
yep.
they find the harmony that they want and then they replicate that with the voice. But me and Meg, usually one of us will have a melody and we'll just sing it over and over again while the other person finds out what
finds
they
it.
Like.
That's
over
really
the top.
Cool.
That's so wild.
Had you sung together much before recording this one?
No, never.
Oh, wow.
Me and Meg weren't even very close as
oh, wow.
friends.
So how did this all come together?
Yeah, what happened?
This sort of song in the first place?
I wanted to be in a band with another chick who could do harmony singing with me. And Meg was literally the only other female singer I knew.
Oh, wow.
And I just randomly asked her over, even though we barely knew each other.
Just
we shot just
her
knew
a
each
message.
Other from like Valley kick
like
on
three
five.
Oh no way.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Kind and of a friend of a friend sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
And she came over and we sung a harmony together and immediately just like stopped singing and looked at each other because we just got those voices that clicked together really
yeah,
well.
Totally.
Yeah.
So this is what you're describing is the scene in the move in the biopic where you sing and then like the
yeah.
the brightness kind of comes up and there's kind of like a glowy light and you're like, did we just, I think we just found our sound.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
In the future when they write the movie of that happening, it's just, yeah, it's going to be a pivotal moment.
If they were to write a movie, do you think we would be starring in it?
This is a good question.
Mm.
If you weren't, if they were like, no, we're getting someone else, who is going to be?
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig is you?
Yep.
Nice.
Okay. Ella?
Meg, you look nothing like Kristen Wiig.
She can look, but she has to look like me. I don't have to look like her.
She has to do all the hard work of like.
She can wear a mask. Have you seen like special effects?
I'm sorry, Meg, but Zooey Deschanel is playing you. Ooh. Don't fight it.
I'm not angry at that.
Yeah, no, that's
now, we
not,
all thought I it was like going to be a dunk, but it was a wholesome compliment.
It was a good, it was
some good
my
vibes
fists
in the studio.
Were raised. I was ready for her to insult me then.
Yeah.
Zooey Deschanel, if she was ugly.
Oh,
dunks.
Too
dunks
bad she isn't. So you're just going to have to settle with that, Ella.
Well, I get Elizabeth Moss a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a not sure if compliment every time I get that comment. I'm like, thanks.
No, I like, if Elizabeth Moss is who I think Elizabeth Moss is, off the top of my head.
She's from The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
Yep.
And Emma Stone, no Elizabeth Moss. I got nothing.
No, I get where you go. Rolling Stone gathers no moss. And Emma Stone gathers no Elizabeth Moss.
A completely pointless contribution to this.
No, it was very good.
Interesting, though, because the other person I get is
Emma Stone.
Hey! Full circle.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
Oh, God.
You looked like you had a question there, Alex.
I always do. I'm always confused.
I'm always stepping on your toes. Just question life.
So of all the songs, because obviously you knew about the premise of this show before you came on, why did you choose this song to bring to us?
Well,
because it was your first one. You did say that. I'm sorry. You said it was the first one.
No. Well, like, I think Ella and I are really lucky in the way that the songs that we have written, the ones that we've kind of put online or performed, been successful in our eyes from the beginning. Like, we've always, but it's always something that we've progressed on and worked on further. There was never really a song that we were like, we played that for a bit and we hate it.
Right.
And we think it's awful. Mm. So we're lucky in the sense that we've created songs and been quite happy with them. Sometimes we kind of put them aside and go, oh, it's not as good as we used to think it was.
Sure.
But we'll always come back and maybe rework it. Mm. So I guess like in picking Dogs with No Chill, it was our first one, but it was also just the first thing that was ever to show of us.
Right.
Yeah.
This was the introduction of Bad Sext into the world.
Yeah. So well, we obviously hadn't figured out our sound yet.
Sure.
So you guys kind of feel that like you've kind of had a trial by audience where you would play new songs and then if the audience liked them, then you'd be like, all right, we're going to keep this. Because you have your EP. Do you have more, like, would you have more songs that you didn't include on the EP because you didn't feel that they were like up to scratch?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I think we just picked our favourites, like our personal favourites. Mm. But we've got a full 45-minute set of like solid songs that we play.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Nice.
Dogs with No Chill is kind of a bad song, though.
Oh. In what way? Why do you think it's bad?
Yeah. Well, it's two chords literally the whole way through. It's
very
A
true.
And D. Mm. And that's just kind of lazy writing, you know? And it's literally because I'd only just learned how to play guitar the days before I asked Meg over. And
that's
those were
so
the
funny.
Two chords that I... I'd played a little bit of ukulele, but
the guitar
not
that you got gifted was your first ever guitar.
Well, actually, my brother gave me a Fender Strat.
Mm.
Was
nice.
My first guitar.
Damn.
And then I was given the Reverend... So I'm very musically privileged. I didn't know how to play this.
I really enjoyed the one step ahead of the band member approach. Just like, come round. I gotta learn these chords.
Yeah, oh shit, she's on the way.
And
A,
I was like,
what's A?
Get this, huh? A. Whoa. And then it goes into D. G, right?
What can you do with that?
A G. I don't think for this
G
long.
Scrap it.
Yeah.
Scrap it.
And then just like next week. Next I week. Worked on that G.
I was thinking about that G suggestion you had. Maybe we can check that in.
I tend to gush too easily. I get really proud of musicians that we talk to.
Sure.
I think this is like really good, especially considering you're like, I just learned like A and D. And
yeah.
I think that so much of the attitude of just like working with what you have at the time. Mm. And this is so good for like what you had, like two chords. Yeah. And then like, you don't need to be taught harmonies. Like, you guys took what you had.
Yeah. No, totally. I think of like taking...
I love Brisbane.
Brisbane's great. Yeah.
This idea of it's like, you know, how tweets only have a certain amount of characters and people do within that space all these different things, make all these different statements and stuff. You knowing only two chords and creating an entire song out of that, it's like there's poetry in the using the limits, I guess. Even if you don't know it, even if it's just like, this is all I can do. Like, that's, yeah, that's awesome. That's really,
absolutely,
really cool.
Yeah.
I have learned more chords. Oh, good. I just like oh, you all nice. Didn't know that.
Oh, fantastic.
I know C.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I've been known to bar.
Ooh.
I wouldn't be able to tell you what notes those bars represent, but I can hold all the strings down with my little fingers.
That is.
And they are little.
Little fingers.
That's all. You're very welcome to give a lie response, or not respond at all. But what is this song about? Because I know some people are like, oh, I don't want to say what it's about. Yeah. But if you would feel comfortable, what's this song about?
It's about when I first started. So this is the first song I ever wrote, and I'm not a particularly emotional person.
Right.
And I was like, how am I going to write music if I don't feel sad all the time? Mm-hmm. And so I wrote songs about my sad friends.
Oh, good.
Interesting.
Take so, other people's sadness.
Yeah, each verse of that song is a different housemate that I had at the time who was having a rough time.
No way.
And that's then a really cool approach.
Yeah,
the chorus
cool.
is about one of them had adopted a dog from the RSPCA that was really naughty and was causing her a lot of emotional distress. She had no chill. Mm-hmm. And it's also mixed in with a little bit of like playing on the derogatory word for women, because I guess the concept of the song is about the anxieties that are like quite attributed to women and that women experience, and these are all female friends of mine who experience things that I don't think men even really think about.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like a overarching concept about how we learn to feel things as women.
Sure.
And then men call us dogs and say that we're crazy and we're not chill enough.
Fair. Do you find that that's kind of something that you've tried to continue with the other songs as well?
Yeah, we have a feminist undertone, I think.
Yeah.
It's not very serious though, which I think works in our favor, because we like to laugh about things rather than get angry about them.
Sure.
And too
sure.
preachy too. Yeah. Because some things are more effectively conveyed through humor than just yelling in your face.
Totally, yeah.
And trying to convince you that way. So I think our approach through comedy has definitely like made it easier to consume for a lot of people.
Mm. Yeah, I think some people can definitely bring the drawbridge up if you start to be too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you're only preaching to the choir of people that want to hear what you're saying.
Yeah, echo chamber,
like
yeah.
Yeah. Whereas we like to try and normalize things that I think every woman and probably every man knows women do throughout our set. We try and make skit comedy bits about those things so that we can all laugh about it together and it becomes less of a embarrassing thing that women secretly do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Sure. Yeah. You mentioned a skit comedy kind of thing. Is there that sort of performative aspect at the live gigs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big 100%. Time.
Big time.
You clearly haven't been to one of our shows.
I haven't. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
I knew I should have prepared.
Yeah, dang it.
I think we used to do it more in the beginnings because we didn't have a following at all and we were just sort of having fun with it. And it was our friends would come to the shows and would laugh at our weird skits.
Yeah.
And as we had to start making our set more like
broader.
Yeah, and people were going to want to watch it who aren't our friends.
Yeah.
We sort of condensed our like comedy parts into just a few, maybe three or four parts of the set.
Cool.
But we do full routines with costume changes.
Oh, wow.
Full character.
That's so cool.
Skirt reveals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's only going to get bigger.
Nice. Alex, how many skirt reveals have you done in your sets?
Well, I mean, that's why you lose count, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Are skirt reveals like those outfits at like the Met Gala where they like turn around their outfit and then there's like another whole outfit that happens?
Yes, in essence, yes, but we don't have a whole outfit prepared.
It's just a long skirt that reveals a very short skirt and then a short skirt that reveals a very short skirt.
A babushka skirt.
Yeah, a babushka skirt.
Nice.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, and there's Velcro, so you get that nice.
Yeah,
I love it. I completely misunderstood. Well, I mean, I don't know. Is it misunderstood? I read a completely different story into the song.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And now I feel silly.
Tell us.
Every, you know, it's your own interpretation. That's you it. Apply your own experiences to songs and lyrics.
Let's hear it.
But also, like, I'm just a random podcast, so why does it matter?
What? I want to know. This isn't I'm curious.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
Well, I thought for starters that it was all a through line, and I thought it was talking about like shitty guys that kind of kept you at arm's length, and you're like, oh, I want to go to the movies and this stuff. I was like, oh, but I guess we're not really like dating, and that he was the dog with no chill because he was like a dog.
Wow.
And then you're like, oh, I wanted someone to love me and I wanted to get a fish, but instead I got this dog. And it was like, I wanted a boyfriend, but instead I got this dog. And I was just like,
That's really
like,
cool.
Well, I feel really dumb because I was like, oh, that's cool. And he's like, yeah, no, it wasn't that.
I also like that interpretation, though.
I think that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, that's it.
You make something with meaning and then you give it to someone else and whatever their interpretation is what it is for them.
Totally, yeah. Things can mean completely different things and that doesn't make that... Are you laughing because I said things can mean completely different things and it was the like dumbest thing to ever say in the world?
I want that to be the quote of this episode. Things can mean different
things. You know what I mean.
I do. I'm sorry.
But all of those meanings are equally valid. They're all real, you know.
What's all the beauty of sharing something into the world, because you get back just as much as you put in.
Totally.
If not more.
If not more, yeah, absolutely. Mm. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So did you guys produce this one yourselves? Because you said that you recorded it yourself, but were you like, all right, we're going to like do the, like, do you have much of a history in producing at that time? Or
Didn't a friend help us with that?
No.
That
I did it.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was I.
And that was your first time producing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ellis, like, if you could call it producing.
I've never touched an interface or a guitar, but I have a rich history of producing music.
I gotta say, in terms of like chucking a bucket of paint at the canvas and this being the result, like,
yeah,
this is
right?
Very good.
Oh, that's
in terms
very
of
nice.
Like, oh man.
Yeah, it's actually quite nice listening back to it because I obviously hadn't heard it in so long and I completely forgot what we sounded like before we really shaped who we were and what we wanted to do. So even listening to that, I'm like, wow, it's so Triple J material. Like, so like low
key.
Yeah,
let's take it back to that.
Yeah, come on. Get us those radio plays.
Was there a point between then and now, like a distinctive point that was like, okay, we found what our sound is, what we're like, you know, even if what you do now is kind of very different song to song, was there a point where it was like, okay, this is sort of who we are, this is our brand, quote unquote?
I can't quite remember the turning point or any significant moment. I just do remember us kind of figuring out what it was that we wanted to do, especially like the prior, what I said earlier, where I was like, we had this third member doing body percussion, then we decided maybe it should just be us. And then I think we were joking about all the things we could do on stage, and then we're like, wait, what if we actually did translate that to stage? And we both kind of were like, we're willing to take that risk and just see if that lands. And then we did a gig supporting a friend of ours at Rick's on a Tuesday.
Nice.
Classic. And literally like, it was all of our friends in the audience.
Yeah.
And then we kind of, it was like a guinea pig experience, just being like, how well will this translate on stage? And we got such a good reception from our friends that we were like, maybe this does work for us. That was totally us just kind of dipping our toe in the water and being like, will this work out? Who knows? And then from that point on, we were like, yep, no, let's stick with it.
That's so cool.
I think that in terms of the sound as well, because we were a duo for about a year, and then we had some friends who had seen us play who offered to play bass and drums for us. And then they came in and we didn't have any ideas of what sort of stuff that they should be doing.
Right.
I don't know anything. As much as I know about guitar, I know even less about bass and drums. And so it was a big learning experience for all of us figuring out what it was sounding like. And then both of those members had to move on for traveling and stuff. And then two of our friends who had been watching us from the very beginning and us with the band and had been just formulating all these ideas of how they would do it.
Oh, right.
They stepped in.
That's so cool.
So now we've got a bass player and a drummer who has definitely shaped our sound.
Yeah, 100%.
That's wild.
That's so cool.
Oh, we're so lucky.
Especially since like drummers are like the most sought after band members and then bass players are probably the second most sought after.
Yeah.
It's just like, we like what you're doing.
Yeah.
I feel like the stars have really aligned in a way. I think the universe wants Bad Sex to happen. And it feels like things are just happening in like a really good way.
Yeah.
Because I think that what you're doing is a really cool thing that I want to happen. I think that what you're doing is a thing that people would naturally seem like, I want to make this happen.
Mm.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Thank you. And I think it speaks to, you know, the instincts of the two of you to just be like, okay, you know, take this song, for example. You know, we've never kind of experienced this. Let's just see what sounds best. Mm. And, you know, it's for this to come out of it, that's awesome. And then for you to like say, okay, let's try this based on what we think is going to work and see if it goes. And, you know, to have that spiral and to keep going, that's so cool.
Mm.
And like, yeah, seems like you guys seem to have a clear vision, I guess, or at the very least a clear idea of what you want to do and what the stuff you want to make, which kind of guides you, which is awesome.
Yeah, Ella and I definitely from the get-go were on the same level the entire time.
That's awesome.
And we're just working together in the best way possible, just like totally on board with everything anyone suggested.
Mm.
And then, you know, working on it together. We're really lucky. It worked out well. Yeah. She could have gotten anyone else and it could have been trash.
Trish. Or maybe I'd be touring the world right now. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Sliding doors. You never know.
Talk me through the woof, woof, woof section. Oh, yeah. I want to talk about the woof, woof, woof section.
I guess that was the first thing that we thought we joked about. And then we were like, should we just put it in?
Mm.
And I don't know. Me and Meg, we muck around so much when we hang out. And then when we're at band practice, the mucking around just bleeds into the songs.
Mm.
And then we make a decision about whether or not it's something that we should put into the song. We almost always put it in.
Yeah.
And that's just how it gets in there every time.
Yeah.
Hmm. I enjoy it. Yeah. A lot. It makes me smile.
And it comes back to what Alex was saying before about you guys being very sincere and very genuine and just kind of like, it feels like you're not making it so that it gets onto Triple J, you know, or that, you know, so it gets massive. It just feels like you guys are making a cool song.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's also like you haven't done it in a way that you're trying to be like cool.
No.
But you haven't done it in a way that is like cringy or embarrassing. Yeah. Right. It's just like just nice.
It's very cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I feel like it would be very easy to be like, woof, woof, woof. And just like, oh, yeah. I hate this.
A bow wow.
Right. Yeah. Like an ironic woof.
Yeah, like a cool woof. Worst thing. So what would you say has changed from this demo to the end result? Because obviously the introduction of the new band members.
Yeah.
Mm.
But because you said that you were like, oh, we sound differently. But I felt that the singing was good in this and I think it's good in the new one. So what are the nuances?
Sorry, you go.
Our singing hasn't so much changed, I don't think.
No.
Because Meg is an incredibly talented singer and a very well-trained singer as well, whereas I'm making myself sound really good. I also hadn't been a singer until a week before I invited Meg over. So I can hear my voice has gotten a lot better and a lot stronger since we first started.
I think also in the new song, we've really delved into our characters as well. Like we don't have like specifically fleshed out characters, but we're on stage, we're just like an accentuated version of ourselves.
Mm.
And so in the music, we kind of like bleed that character into the song as well. So having those little inflections in our voices and really giving it attitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a bit more playing around and a little bit more theatrical in that sense.
There's character in the voice.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Cool.
Yeah, awesome. The original is just, it's very like soft and easy listening. It's not abrasive in any way. I don't know. It's just now we've just got this like epicness to the song. I think in the final result in comparison, it's just very epic.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
If you were to, oh, I shouldn't make up questions on the fly.
No, go for it, please. That's what I've been doing.
Well, I was going to say, if you were to like describe your character on stage, how would they be? But you said they're accentuations of your own character, thus rendering it a pointless question.
Well, no, who are these characters? Let us know.
Well, I always describe it being me being like, I'm just an accentuated version of myself. It's just me to the max. Like, I'm a vagina at one point in the
I'm Ella's vagina.
Is that during I Bleed?
No, that's Learn Please.
Nice.
Ooh.
Learn Please is a little power ballad about, it is our one punk song, about teaching men to what to do in bed to have a woman achieve an orgasm. Oh. And I have a crisis. I'm the one who's having the sexual experience and I have a crisis on stage about communicating and sex. And I wish that I could talk to my own vagina and I wish it into the room. And then suddenly this jazz music comes from our band.
Uh-huh.
Meg whacks on a boa. And a wig, and then embodies my vagina, and we have a big chat about it.
Huh. I love it. That's
incredible.
And I
talk her through the experience, and then we all collectively have an orgasm.
Amazing.
How does it transition from a jazz song to a more punk song?
1, 2, 3, 4. Literally.
Fair enough.
You could say our set is jarring.
Yeah. But it works. It works. So essentially, yeah, there's just like a huge skit in the middle, and the jazz music stops and then we keep talking and then it's like, let's get back in there. Let's nice. Fuck this guy. And then do. Yeah.
Have you found, because I like that is awesome and I love it. And we try to have more kind of theatrical acts on the show.
Yeah.
Because that's just the music I like. And totally. It's our show. We can do whatever we want. To be honest. But have you found, I found that more traditional bands find it easier to get gigs. Mm. Have you kind of found it difficult to market yourself to venues? Because you have a very marketable show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been very lucky with the opportunities we've been given. But I definitely have noticed recently now that we can pick and choose. Earlier it was like, we just want exposure. We'll accept any gig that we sure. can get. Mm. But now that we do have the exposure and we have a slight following, it's like we have to pick and choose the gigs that we have and we really have to consider our place in the bill. Mm. So it's like we've had experiences where we've been so odd in the lineup because like there's other punk or rock bands.
Oh, right.
And then we really stick out. And I've had so many musicians come up to me and go, sorry. And I'm like, why are you apologizing to me? And they're like, we're playing after you and we're just totally different sound to you. And I was like, don't say sorry to me. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter. But like, those are the circumstances where we really have to consider our place. Mm-hmm. And we want to be in a lineup where it kind of all makes sense together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and you know that, like, the audience is going to get around, you know, different stuff. Yeah, totally.
And even though we've never had anyone be, like, super, you know, offended or, like, really off-put by our show, it's always, like, people coming up and be like, that was different. because they're, like, expecting a punk lineup and sure. then we get thrown in the mix and they're like, wow, that was great, I enjoyed it, but, like, interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
I feel like it would be very easy for you guys to steal the show because I think that a lot of bands are just doing like, we're up, we play, and now we're done.
Yeah.
And I think that since you guys are putting more than just like a little bit of effort, you're like doing a whole show. I think that would make you stand out a lot.
Thank you.
In a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely memorable at the very least.
That's what
yeah.
I always say. Yeah. You'll be entertained.
Have you found that because you mentioned you only started like a couple of years ago as Bad Sex. Have you found that the momentum has grown quite quickly or has it been like only recently it's skyrocketed or?
It's been pretty steady actually. Like it took us a while to record something just because it's such a huge thing to undertake and a very expensive thing to undertake.
Yeah.
But we, as Meg was saying, we've been really lucky. We've just been given opportunity after opportunity. People are always interested in what we're doing. Mm. People like you guys contact us all the time because they're interested in what we're doing differently.
Ooh, yeah, absolutely.
It's also cogs in the machine.
Yeah.
It's also a good time to be a female-fronted sort of feminist act because people are interested in having that be more exposed in the Brisbane music scene, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've released the EP and it's on. We've been Triple J Unearthed recently.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
We've been on Triple Z a bunch.
Cool.
Yeah, they've been playing us a lot. So I guess in terms of like real traction, it's all happened recently since we actually
released it. Yeah. Mm. Which ultimately was going to happen. Like, as soon as you do put music online for people to access, that's when people actually get to know what you're doing.
Exactly.
Because not everyone can come out and make your show.
Right.
And, you know, people trust word of mouth, but it's not until you actually listen to something that you believe that it's good or that it's worth your time.
And sometimes it's a matter of you just kind of have to put it in front of their face, like literally on their laptop screen. They have to click one thing just to hear it, like, because
you don't understand, man. This shit's good.
Because people just don't want to, you know, go through a bunch of things if they're not sure. But like, yeah.
And it makes you a potential crowd from like Brisbane to like the entire world.
Oh, exactly.
You just gotta find a way for them to find it.
Yeah, totally. I had a thing. Oh yeah. So
what kind of thing was it? Was it a thing? Did you lose it?
It was a thing, but some things can be different things sometimes. Yeah. You've got your EP. Do you guys have like a goal, like a next sort of thing you want to do, lead up to?
Yeah, well, ooh. Ella and I have been talking for a long time. See, I have a theatre background.
Yes.
And talking to Ella, Ella loves doing skits and, you know, humour.
Mm-hmm. I love humour.
Loves that humour. Can't get enough of that humour.
I love to laugh.
Oh, and how we laugh. but we're thinking of maybe dappling in like cabaret or like
doing
or performing in a theatre space to attract an audience that is there to sit down and listen to theatre from start to finish, you know, or watch theatre.
Sure.
And maybe like creating a thorough storyline and then developing characters more that's not so much us but like characters of bad sex.
Yeah.
So like going in that direction and maybe taking us to Woodford.
Nice, yeah.
Applying for that, which I think would be excellent. But yeah, kind of trying to be versatile artists in the sense of like, yes, we can play a music lineup, but we can also do this other thing and take it further, like cabaret.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So that's awesome. A plan that we have.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sick. Sorry, I thought Alex had a question. I was like, and Alex will take it away. Here we go.
Sorry, I had a big idea for a grand scheme involving
share.
I don't want to say
no,
it.
Yeah.
I'll
talk to you guys after the show.
We have to keep it under wraps.
Yeah.
This big plan.
But I have lists of questions.
Excellent.
That I like to pick from at points in the conversation. I was going to say, what are some other bands in the punk scene? Or you mentioned some of the upcoming feminist bands that are happening in Brisbane that you're enjoying, or even just like any Brisbane band that you're currently enjoying or listening to?
Well, Sweater Curse.
So proud of them.
Yeah, like they're getting big, man. Mm. They're doing excellent things that I'm really excited for. Lowland Clouds recently supported us. That's my roommate and one of my best friends.
Oh, nice.
Band that's like a jazz hip-hop fusion.
Cool.
That's kicking off.
Damn, I love that.
Who else? Start Together is supporting Sweater Curse, and one of the members is my guitar teacher.
Oh, nice.
And also one of my best friend's brothers, and they're like this like prog rock band, really, really cool. They're supporting Sweater Curse, which I'm actually really excited to where they're going. They supported Hatchie recently.
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah.
Sick.
And Hatchie's taking off, which
Hatchie's
is excellent.
Taking off. Hatchie's Brisbane-based, yeah?
Yeah? Yeah, Brisbane-based.
Wow.
Yeah. Where else bands I'm into? Oh, Gutterbirds.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, Gutterbirds.
Love the Gutterbirds.
Love them. They were silent for like 6 months and then they supported us at our EP launch. And damn,
awesome.
They're good.
It was so fun.
So
see,
funny.
That's the lineup that we need to be on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gutterbirds,
sure, yeah.
Us, Tim Minchin.
Whale House could be a fun one. They're Brisbane based as well.
Nice.
Ella just gave me a look.
I was going in a different direction, like Tim mentioned, Flight of the Conchords, and you're like, no, let's bring it right back down to small Brisbane bands.
No, but like on equal planes, they are. Like,
we gotta keep our egos in check.
Well, I mean, that's the cool thing about, you know, seeing people from Brisbane rise up is I think that because Brisbane, you know, the theatre scene and the music scene are so tightly knit, like you kind of, you're never more than 1 or 2 degrees of separation from knowing
100%.
Anyone. And so it's cool to see all these different people, you know, rise up and start to get successful and start to get people listening, which is awesome.
And I find, like, I mean, to be fair, haven't experienced music industry in other cities in Australia, but like seems very much in Brisbane music scene that everyone just wants to support each other.
Yeah.
And everyone's so willing to provide opportunity and they just want to raise you higher, not take you a peg down.
Totally.
Which I think is so incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, again, don't really know from experience, but like Melbourne is so big and everyone flocks to Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I feel like it'd be so much harder to make a stamp.
Yeah.
Than
yeah.
Brisbane would be.
I've always been in the mindset if you can't make it in Brisbane where people are like wanting stuff, then you're not going to make it where there's like heaps of people, you know?
Yeah.
I phrased that real wrong. I have a very valid feeling about this. And
I get
really
what you mean.
Do you get
absolutely.
What I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, I get you.
If you can't make it in Brisbane, why do you think you'd be able to make it in Melbourne?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
pretty
you,
much.
You know,
and, you
be
know,
where
I,
you are.
I don't mean to say that, you know, Brisbane's like you're big fish in a small pond or whatever, but like in Melbourne, it's a bigger pond. Like, you know.
And you're a smaller fish.
And you're a smaller fish, right? And like.
That being said, I do have this conversation with someone frequently, and their rebuttal is often because in Melbourne, they have things in place to try and like support artists. Sure. So they have an attitude that does like create and foster that
that's
environment.
That's true.
Whereas Brisbane does not.
We don't have the culture. No. If you're not in the scene, you're very much out of it.
Yeah.
You know? I think at the moment, one of the problems in Brisbane is that we've got a lot of gigs happening and a lot of people in bands and all that organization is happening, but still Brisbane people don't go to gigs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whereas Melbourne people go to gigs. Yeah. Like you can fill any venue in Melbourne, regardless of who's playing.
Yeah. Because everyone's
it's hard to get an audience in Brisbane. It's hard to get people to come to the Valley.
It's a very good point.
Maybe we should just go to Melbourne. Let's all just go to Melbourne.
Let's take the podcast to Melbourne.
Yeah.
We'll do the exact same thing, except we'll record it in Melbourne.
We'll just be in Melbourne.
There's just a crowd of people in the room with you. Yeah. Just like, I thought this was a gig.
I mean, we got here and then everyone flocked. It, like, it's true. It works.
Yeah. People do live podcasts these days.
Yeah.
I think it would be real sick if we did live My Song Suck recording.
I agree.
And we had like bands from the show open.
Oh,
wouldn't
dude.
That be fucking cool?
That would be really cool. That's the direction you guys are going.
Lock
Let's
it
talk
in.
About you.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I was born on a summer's day.
If any other podcast take that, then check the timestamp. Yep. We said it first. I am genuinely very curious. Who are your musical influences? Because I'm trying to pick what I'm listening to in the song.
Courtney Barnett.
Ah, yes.
Frankie Cosmos.
Okay.
Do you know Girlpool?
No.
You should check out Girlpool. They're awesome. Very stripped back. But the harmonies are very amazing.
Any relation to Deadpool?
See, now I thought if I didn't say it. I respect my guest too much.
I'm just saying what we're all thinking here.
Girlpool is Deadpool. No.
I think we get a lot of comedy influence from Flight of the Conchords.
Yes. Nice. Yeah, fantastic.
We get that commented a lot about us. That's probably the main ones.
Okay. Mm.
Sick.
Yeah.
Meg listens to sad music, so her influences don't make it into the band.
Yeah, because I'm very emotional. Ella's like, I wrote a song about how I'm not emotional. I'm here like, I can't stop crying.
That's the thing. Do you guys share the like the songwriting percentage? Would you say that one of you writes more than the other? This is a weird question.
No, I was going to ask you.
It's about a percentage on it.
Yeah. Well, when we started, very, very started, like at the beginning, Ella presented songs to me that she had already written, which is like I Always Cry, Dogs and No Chill. We've got like Industry and stuff like that that we play, which really established the overall vibe and the writing technique that we were going for, which is great because it's like we have a somewhere to start from.
Totally.
And then obviously when we grew as a duo, it was like now this is a collaborative process. So then our songwriting turned into a collaborative process. And how it usually goes is because Ella's a great lyricist. Mm. And Ella will be like, there's this particular feeling that I have or this subject that I want to write about and I've got chords for it and I've written two lines but I have no idea where to go from it. And then I step in, I'm like, okay, let's talk about the idea, the concept, where we want to take it, and then let's try and create a story or narrative around it, and then let's just throw lyrics at each other and see what sticks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good process.
Yeah, for sure.
It's fun.
It sounds like, it sounds like each of you has a voice, you know, in that process, which is really cool.
I think that's what it works so well is because we both kind of shoot ideas at each other and it's no idea is wrong. Mm. We just kind of take what we don't like from it and see how we can learn from it or like work on it further, being like, I like that, but maybe that won't fly. Let's try at a different angle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And your band members, the drummer and the bassist who you mentioned started by listening to you guys.
Yeah.
Do they contribute much or is it just they sort of play the stuff that they're given?
We in terms of like instrumentally, we kind of show them the song start to finish and then go, this is our overall idea, do what you will with it. It's like a clear slate for you. You can put in your own workings and stuff. But whenever we have like skit bits, we kind of present it to them and go, does this work? Is this funny? Do you like it? Will it land?
Oh, good. Yeah.
They're our little guinea pigs.
Yeah, because sometimes when Ella and I are locked in a room together for a while, it gets a bit wild.
Sure.
And then we're like, we don't know if this is funny anymore to anyone else that isn't us.
Right. Or or if you've just been like shoving an idea at each other and just thinking,
absolutely.
Building it up. No, that's hilarious.
And the boys are quite honest with us, so it's good.
That's
They're not
good.
Like, yeah, it's great. They're like, don't do that.
Well, I guess what's next on the horizon for you guys? Do you have another big project coming up? You did just release an EP, so it's okay to say we're taking a bit of a break.
Yeah, we are having a bit of a break.
Yeah.
I think we're going to explore this whole theatre vibe and see if we can find someone who wants to have us.
Yeah.
And give it a role. Mm. We've got a lot of theatre friends who are just dying to create it into more of a show for us.
Yeah, fantastic.
And criticise us.
Yeah, we love constructive criticism. Give it to us.
But yeah, we'll probably do another single at some point.
Yeah.
Keep playing shows.
Yeah. Nice. We love playing shows.
Oh, I forgot to ask. Sorry. Who produced this EP that you just did?
Underground Audio.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice. That's where we recorded. Do you remember who produced it?
Oh, yeah. Matthew Gray.
Okay.
Matthew Gray Mastering.
Nice.
Cool. He did that one, which was suggested by Chris, who works for Underground Audio.
Nice. Mm.
So it sounds sick.
Yeah.
We're stoked with it.
Yeah, it was kind of, we were just like, we still want the raw voices, raw lyrics. We don't want anything fancy on it. Just give it how it is. Just make it sound nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I have two final questions. Do you have any other questions that you want to do, James?
Not particularly, if you want to go ahead and take it away.
Double whammy.
My final questions are, what advice do you have to any songwriters just starting out? And that could be from like songwriting or like performing or like live gigs or just like any advice you would have.
I think for songwriting, for me, the big one is like, I didn't ever think I could write a song. And everyone always says that to me when they're like, I want to be in a band, but I don't know how to write a song. You don't need to know. I didn't know how to sing. I didn't know anything about writing music. I didn't play an instrument, nothing. I didn't have anything going for me at all. I just tried, and then it was funny. And then whatever you've got going on internally for you will translate into some kind of song, and someone will like it because they'll be like, I identify with that.
Nice.
Just do it. You've got to start. Stop whinging and making up excuses, everyone.
Yeah.
Hey?
Come on, guys.
Just do it.
Just do
it. Grab the guitar and do it.
Nike.
That's some great on-brand.
I can show you what a D looks like and an A.
Yeah, if you want any advice on two chords.
But not a G.
Not a G.
We don't talk about
it.
Not quite there.
Any minute now.
I think also from a performative aspect of what we do, one of the most liberating things on stage for me personally, and I'm sure Ella as well, is that like it's so much fun and it feels so good just to not care. And to just be like, make fun of yourself and to just be honest and real on stage and just to give it your all. Like there's so much, I don't know, I hate when I see a band and they've got this face on and they're just like.
Sure.
For those that are listening, I was squinting my eyes and frowning slightly.
It was a mute face. It was a very muted expression.
And it feels so good just being on stage and just being like, I'm making fun of myself.
Yeah.
I'm having a laugh. I'm trying to talk to you and relate to you. Just like, just have fun and let go.
Nice.
Which is really nice.
That's very good. Very wholesome.
I'm enjoying this episode a lot. And my final question is, this episode is scheduled to come out on June 14th. Is there anything that you wanted to plug? And we discussed this beforehand and you said no.
No, why? But we need the audience to know, because otherwise we'd get comments like, you didn't ask them if they have anything to plug. You're so greedy, Alex.
I would actually just like to plug us again.
Yeah.
Just us.
Yeah, Ella and Meg. Hello.
as people. A band, just as people.
We're really great. Chat to us. We need more friends.
where can people find your music and stuff?
On music.
Spotify.
Your music, not like your home address. Or
I was like, sometimes you can catch me in a bar drinking.
Yeah, Spotify, SoundCloud, all the normal places. Nice. Spotify is the best one, though.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well,
I was going to say as well, fans of Bad Sex, follow Bad Sex. You have a lot of listeners, but not as many people are following you as they are listening. Follow them.
Yeah.
Get on the Facebooks.
Get on the Instagrams. I put in a lot of effort.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Making
nothing
posts.
Worse. Yeah, just shouting into the void. No, you got to get people in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone go follow.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Well, I'm pretty happy to wrap it there.
Yeah. Do you guys have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, closing thoughts.
Anything you'd like to say? If it's like...
Anything you would regret not having said?
Yeah, if you're on the drive home and just like, oh, I should have said that on the podcast.
I would like to say that... things sometimes aren't things, even though other things can make you think that could be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can be wrong about things.
Yeah,
that's true.
And things can be wrong about you.
Uh-huh. Hmm. You guys are speaking my language. Damn, you guys should be on the show more often. Far out. Amazing. Well, which track are we going to listen to? I actually don't know.
Oh, we were going to listen to this track, but the
yeah,
the real version. Big boy version.
The one that they released on their EP. So
Dogs
listened
No
to
Chill
demo.
All Grown Up.
Oh, I
First
see.
First day of school.
Yeah.
Get your lunchbox ready.
James, did you want to plug anything?
No, I probably don't have anything coming up. Oh, the Good Time Boys, that's a sketch comedy group with which I am involved. We have a couple of things coming up at Short and Sweet, both at Brisbane Strand and Goldcrest Strand. July? What's going on in July? I'll tell you. at HOTA, that's the home of the arts. That's on the Gold Coast. And what's happening there? Well, it's a Gold Coast strain of Short and Sweet where one of my scripts is being performed.
Hooray.
And that one's called The Grizzly Truth, and that's being done by the Good Time Boys, including myself. I don't think Alex won't be there.
No, probably not.
He might come to see the show. So if you're,
maybe. Definitely a discussion to have now.
But you can check that out. That's going to be in July. You can find all the details on the Short and Sweet website and Facebook probably. Alex, do you have something you want to plug?
I'm a Brisbane musician called Your Man Alex Smith. And if you like my stuff, you can find it on Spotify and Facebook and iTunes and Bandcamp. That's all I got.
That was so succinct. Mine dragged on for 10 hours.
Was it July? I tell you.
I had to, put some flair in there because I didn't know what I was talking about and I needed to make it sound as though I did.
Do you watch Rick and Morty?
Yes, I do.
Do you know that episode where they watch the TV?
Yeah. And
two brothers that are they're going, and then an asteroid comes, and then, but they're two brothers, and they like to eat baguettes together, but then the asteroid has come, and then there's aliens, and the asteroid, two brothers.
Yes.
It's a good vibe.
You heard it here first. I am Rick and Morty. You heard it here first. But that'll about do it for us.
Yeah, this was a fun one.
This
thank you
was
very
a really
much for coming
great.
On.
Thank you
so much, thank guys. You. We really appreciated it.
Oh, we had fun. We loved it.
As did we.
I am speaking on Ella's behalf.
Yeah, Ella hated it. Ella was just.
She's looking at me like.
Yeah, like, oh.
Shouldn't have signed away my behalf to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, sorry.
Signed away my behalf. Can you say you get my behalf?
When you sold your soul for the membership to the band, you sold it to
sold
Meg.
Away the behalf
and
as well.
So you just
Whoa!
Have both, and you've sold your soul to yourself.
Crazy.
Crazy.
That's a real good callback. Damn.
Yeah. Thank you.
Wow.
All right.
Without further ado,
bum, bum, bum.
This is Dogs in No Chill.
What the fuck? Dogs with no chill. woof, 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 woof.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.